It's a joy, it's a privilege, as always, to hear all the wonderful things that are happening in Church of the Savior, and to be able to pop over and to participate in your worship and ministry. And thank you, worship team, for so wonderfully leading us into God's presence. Let me just get a bit organized here. Right. I want to share a sermon from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. So you have your Bible, printed or digital. Please open it there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. I want to talk about peace with God, with this title, Peace with God and Peace with Man. Amen. You're familiar with this word, aliens. It's Aliens movie, right? Aliens 1, Aliens 2, Aliens 3, Alien 4, you know. And those who are into gaming, you know Aliens is an object you shoot at on the computer screen. But the word alienation is used entirely in a very different way. It's actually quite a popular concept and word that's used in our society today. For example, sometimes our own citizens can feel alienated. It describes a human condition where someone ought to belong, but for various reasons feels cut off. And our own citizens may feel alienated maybe because of social inequality. And this is something that's talked about in our papers today. The sense of expectations, unmet expectations between the haves and the have-nots. And certainly those of us who are older may feel alienated because of the vast and fast changes in technology and communications. Some of you are not in WhatsApp's chat groups, right? You don't even own a smartphone, perhaps. You feel you are left out. And now you pay something by tapping or scanning a weird-looking picture. This is a picture of alienation, how our elderly may be feeling today. Right, so you have this. Right, it looks rather alien looking. Right, it is bizarre when you think about it, but you scan your phone on, you can scan and you try to find out where it leads you to. Right. And so the world has changed so much, and those who are older may feel alienated. It does not lead to my food blog, by the way. It's something... the Cathedral Bulletin. It should not be this way. A citizen should feel like a foreigner, should not be made to feel like a foreigner. A family member should not feel like a stranger in his or her own home. But yet, for some reason, some people feel alienated, they are cut off. There are invisible dividing walls in this life. In recent history, just last century, it was Karl Marx who popularized again this word. Every worker puts into his craftsmanship a part of himself. When his employer then sells his product, the worker is in part alienated from himself. And this, according to Marx, was the basis of the class struggle. So it's a big idea. And you can see the world since the last century has bore full political brunt of just a simple idea. But long before the word alienation is used in this way, the Bible has used this word to describe the human condition. Man's alienation from God and man from another fellow man, from another man. And so this passage in Ephesians talks about this spiritual condition, one of double alienation. So let me read chapter 2, verse 12. Remember, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. As the commentator will summarize, the Gentiles were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. That also describes some of the condition as well. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus has made possible a reconciliation with God. We were far off, but now we have been brought near. We have found peace with God. And I want to speak about the first reconciliation, peace with God. A beautiful term. A term which I first came across in a famous book written by the late Billy Graham. Remember reading it at the age of 13, soon after I was converted. And certainly he must have based the title of his book on this passage. And as you know, Billy Graham passed away this year. But 40 years ago, he was here in person. And that rarely had a tremendous impact on our church and on our nation. So we're going to pause because I always feel very moved when I see this video. So join me in watching something that's happened 40 years ago.
Now when we come to Jesus Christ,
当我们来到耶稣基督面前,
we accept Him by faith.
我们接受他,
we accept the Word of God by faith.
我们来接受上帝的话,
and when we do,
当我们做出来,
Christ comes into our heart.
耶稣基督进到我们心里面,
He forgives our sin.
他赦免我们的罪,
He changes our lives.
他改变我们的人生,
He makes us new people.
我们的人生就有目标,
He forgives our sins.
他赦免我们的罪,
but you may never understand it all intellectually. Don't wait till you understand it all. Come just as you are.
也许你在这个知识头脑里面没有完全的了解, 不要等到那个时候, 现在就来到耶稣基督面前吧。
You repent of sin.
你为罪来悔改。
Then by simple childlike faith you receive Jesus Christ into your heart.
好像婴孩的信心来接受耶稣基督进到你心里面。
That is a simple act of your will.
这个就是你意志很单纯的做法。
You say, I will receive Him.
你说我一定接受他。
And you do it publicly.
你在公开的人面前做。
Jesus said, if you are not willing to acknowledge me publicly before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father which is in heaven.
主耶稣说,
in the same way,
同样的,
you come to Jesus Christ.
你来到耶稣的面前,
He died on the cross and you say, I could love Him.
他死在十字架上, 你说我爱他,
He shed His blood for me.
他为我流血,
I will receive Him.
我一定要接受他,
I will follow Him.
我一定要跟随他,
I will serve Him.
我要来服侍他,
I will make Him my only Lord and my only Master.
我要使他成为我个人的主宰, 个人的救主。
Will you say that tonight?
今晚你愿意这么说吗?
Right now?
就在现在。
At this moment,
在这个时候,
and do it publicly,
在公开的承认,
I'm going to ask that no one leave the stadium at this moment.
我请求大家, 没有一个人来离开我们这个大操场,
but I'm going to ask hundreds and even thousands of you that God has spoken to tonight, and you know that you need to know Christ, and you need to know that you have been born again. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come and stand here on this hard surface, clear around the stadium.
我要请求各位, 你们听了这一篇道理, 圣灵感动你们, 你们知道自己的需要, 就走到这个讲台的前面来。
Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
耶稣说, 人若赚得全世界, 赔上自己的灵魂, 有什么益处呢?
What keeps you from Christ?
到底有什么东西使你与基督相隔离呢?
What separates you from God?
什么东西使你与神隔离呢?
Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your only Savior and your only God into your heart tonight?
你今天晚上要不要接受耶稣基督进到你的心,做你个人的救主,做你的王?
Old and young.
不论是男女老幼,
whatever your religious background,
不管你宗教的背景怎样,
You come.
I know of one lady 40 years ago on that night. She was 36 years old then, and she responded to the call. She was baptized as an infant in Anglican Church, but in her own words, she said she was living her life entirely as a non-Christian, as an unbeliever. But on that night, she gave her life to Jesus. And she went on to become one of the most prolific personal evangelists that I've ever met. She brought hundreds of people to the Lord. She was inspiring in the parish that she was serving in. When the Alpha Course was launched 20 years ago here, we exploded here in Singapore. She was very much behind the ministry of the Alpha Course. On that night, she also brought along her two daughters. The eldest daughter was 11 years old. And she too followed her mother and she gave her life to Jesus as well. For the rest of the teenage years, she was active in the Christian faith, in Christian leadership and ministry. She went on to become a medical student. And she served the Lord as well. Then she became a doctor, still active in the church, still witnessing for the Lord and bringing our people to Christ. And finally, she became married to a pastor. I know this for a fact because she's my wife. Amen. Glory to Him. Sometimes people ask us what we do. I always say, I preach and she practices. But it's amazing what God has done. A seed sown in one life, and you never know where it will go and where it will grow. This is the whole family, and as you may recognize, some others just the wider family, they're serving Christ in one way or another, whether in the church or outside the church. Undoubtedly, all this is possible because Margaret, my mother-in-law, 40 years ago, went down the steps and she gave her life to Jesus. Made possible because someone brought her to the stadium. Made possible because churches work hard together to get this rally planned and organized. Sowing with tears and of course, reaping with joy. Brothers and sisters, the gospel message. Amen. It's a treasure that we have. This wonderful message of reconciliation. If you hear Billy Graham, you can see it is focused and simple. He has probably had maybe about 20, 25 minutes to deliver his message. No time for complicated stuff. Straight to the point. Sin has caused the division between man and woman and God. But God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. And He came to save us, and this offer of salvation is free. To be a Christian, one only has to turn from his sins, which means repent, and receive Christ, in the verse of John, chapter 1, verse 12. So verse 13, back to Ephesians chapter 2. Those who are far off has been brought near by the blood of Christ. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Can we believe on behalf of our family and friends and acquaintances this wonderful promise this cry from both the heart of man, looking for meaning in this life, looking for reconciliation, a desire to come out from his state of spiritual alienation. You've already heard of a celebration of hope next year, 17 to 19 May. I doubt we'll be singing this hymn next year. But in a sense, the truth is the same. The gospel message is the same. We're going to participate in a celebration of hope. Not because our pastor asks you to, or our bishop asks us to, but because we share the same conviction. We are not ashamed of the gospel, for his power to change lives. Amen. Peace with God. So secondly, friends, peace with men. The second reconciliation. The second part of the gospel message. And I read, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The same Father, our Father who art in heaven. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens, one people with the saints, and members of the household of God, one family. This may be lost to us today, but the fact that a Jew and Gentile can be the same can be unthinkable to most Jews, and no less to St. Paul himself. And that the cross can bring people together, friends, is one of the wonderful impact of the gospel, wherever it goes. One of the powerful messages of the gospel is how it breaks down the second form of alienation that's between man and man. And we have this privilege, friends, to share this with many, many foreigners in our midst who are now working, living, or studying in Singapore. And indeed, one of the greatest phenomena of our times is migration. More people than ever, it seems, are displaced from their own homes and families in search of a better life, a new and a better home. According to statistics, there are 258 million migrants in 2017. In 2017 in Singapore, there are 26 million non-Singaporeans living, working, and studying here. And what foreigners want most above all is not just money, but to be accepted. And some will bring the families from far off, right? Hoping to stay here more permanently. The ultimate sign of their acceptance is to receive citizenship in the country they have adopted as their own. Their new passport or ID card is often the proudest possession. At last, they can hold their heads up high and build a new sense of identity. Now they can say the pledge proudly, with their hand to the chest, they have arrived and they belong. Some of you will know that I'm a good friend of Daniel. I was a Malaysian. I'm not sure whether he has converted or not. Has he converted? Anyway, I know his sister very well. So I always seen him as the younger brother. You know, when I first met him, he was really skinny. He's always appearing in this singlet, you know. Not sure whether you know Pastor Daniel well enough. But when I came to Singapore, way before I received my ID card, way before I became a citizen, it was the church that was home and family to me. And I mean to say this, for resident foreigners in Singapore today, whether they're temporary or permanent residents, the church can offer this one-man experience The church has a powerful message of love and acceptance that can be offered to a fellow human being, regardless of his creed, race, or language, or political views. To tell them that they share the same spiritual and moral rights, even if, of course, some legal rights are different. This is the message and mission of the church. We have 2.6 million people to bless and to reach. Now, when you think about it, all the great cities in Asia, Tokyo, Beijing, New Delhi, Bangkok, and Seoul, they're different. Well, Singapore is also a great city in Asia, but Singapore is different in some way, some very special way. All these great cities belong to ancient civilizations. These cities were grown over hundreds of years by people of generally the same race and culture. But Singapore, as a great Asian city, is different. Singapore is what she is today because of foreigners. They came from all over, live here, work here, and build up this city nation. There isn't one identifiable race or culture. She's not a product of one ancient civilization. And that's the reason why our culture is so rojak, as they say, right? In this sense, Singapore is an American nation, a nation that was not meant to be. Next year, we proudly celebrate our 200th year of existence as a modern nation. We need to remember that this nation is called into being, we believe, of course, as Christians, for a very special purpose. It reminds me of the prayer of King David, his last prayer, in his last public speech before he handed over his reins to Solomon, his son, recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. And King David, who was very rich by then, reminded the people of this towards the end of his life. We are all sojourners. We don't own anything. At least not in a permanent sense. Even our fathers were sojourners. For heaven and earth is yours, David said. That's where this beautiful offertory sentence prayer in our Anglican liturgy comes from. Actually from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. The last public prayer of King David. A sense we are only passing through. A sense we are just stewards. Sojourners. A sense of beholdens to the one who owns everything, and we live this life with this sense that we are on borrowed time, we are on borrowed grounds. I've said earlier on, Malaysia is my land of birth. I can still recall first coming to Singapore, this is 1982. That's a full prayer of King David. 1982, with only one bag in my hand, literally, actually. No bank account, just one bag in my hand. Start a new adventure, a new journey in a strange place, and just trusting God for my future. In fact, when I came across the song, Home, I used to parody it and say, this is home, truly, with one bag only. Oh, that's a big laugh, thank you. And when I graduated, I started my ministry as a parish worker. And that was a faith journey. I was studying science then, maybe I'll be a teacher, maybe I'll be a chemist. But I was approached to be a church worker, right? Because the Lord was doing something. There was a revival among the students. Actually, Pastor Daniel was one of those who was so touched by this a special work of God in NUS then. I didn't realize that, but it was years later I found out that my mother, when she heard that I became a pastor, she cried for a few months because I was the only son that had tertiary studies, and she was banking a lot of hopes on on me, kind of lift them out of the cycle of poverty, so to speak. We come from a very average, very middle-income family. And indeed, I was thinking very far that I was just serving as a pastor, nowadays they pay parish workers a lot better, right? But in those days, it was difficult. But still, just a sense of faith. Living from month to month, and sometimes you could barely keep the minimum sum you need to keep a bank account. And I was staying, sharing room with my roommate. In fact, we're in a sharing house. All of us are just graduates, all single males, And my roommate has a gift for making money. She went on to work in GIC, government for investment, and he's one of the top bankers in DBS. But there I was working for the church. I never thought for a woman, what will the future be like? How are you going to survive drawing this kind of salary in Singapore? And so sometimes among us housemates, we will sit around and dream big dreams, as all single men will do. And start thinking about, wow, what kind of wife, what kind of family you want to have. And I used to parody this Christmas carol, one of those hope la, kind of songs, hoping. Oh, that's a wow! You're all ready. So I'm supposed to sing it here, is it? You want to hear it? No, I sang it yesterday. It was a youth service, so I thought they would enjoy it. It's a parody, right? I'm dreaming of a wife for Christmas, who cook my dinners every night. I really dreamed that as a bachelor man, and who will clean. Sorry, let's do it again. And who will wash my dishes clean and bright? And who will not tie my shoelaces too tight? Thank you, pianist. Amazing words. My housemates will say, hope la. But I've been blessed way beyond what I dare to expect. She may not be cooking my dinners every night. That is my calling. She may not be tying my shoelaces too tight. Though as I'm getting older, sometimes I need help. Right, but she's a blessing in many, many ways, more than one. So this is my family. Right, can you recognize my wife? I have two daughters. I'm blessed, right? So I give you a tip, a hint. She always have to look up to me. How about that as a hint? Right, I bless the two daughters. There's Jennifer, my wife, Deborah, and Sarah. Sarah's my eldest. And both loving, serving the Lord, studying, of course. And as I look back, as a migrant, we have no rights. Just living day to day, month to month, and year to year. Yet he is blessed. And you need to remember, like the prayer of King David, this is not my own. He gave it to me. I've been blessed, and I need to remember this. And being blessed is, of course, more than just having possessions, but the sense of belonging, the sense of family, that is priceless. And to remember, likewise, our forefathers, they were foreigners. So the big question we need to ask, how are we treating foreigners who are coming after us? The world is changing, we know that. The world is getting so xenophobic, so to speak. American, for American only, Singaporeans, Singapore, I always ask, if Singaporeans say, hey, Singapore, Singaporeans only, at what stage do you cut off and say foreigners cannot come in anymore? It's the older foreigners who establish, you say, the new ones cannot come. Right? I think we know that. If you studied history of Singapore. So we need constantly remember that, that Singapore is a special place. What is the Lord asking of the church? As foreigners come to our shores. St. Andrew's Cathedral. What's unique at St. Andrew's Cathedral is not just the building or the bells. You've heard about it. And it came on the papers recently. But the fact is hundreds of foreigners, mostly from Myanmar. Some of them come from India, Cambodia. They will be gathering on cathedral grounds every Sunday. Most of them are domestic workers. When it's their off day, they cannot stay at home because home is a place of work, right? And so they come out into the public space. And there are not many gardens or public safe public spaces in Singapore. And so for some reason, maybe we are near the Peninsula Plaza, the Myanmar workers gather on cathedral grounds. When I first came to the cathedral as a vicar, I can recall the problem of foreigner management. It was on the agenda of most every PCC or staff meeting. It's a problem to be managed. Security, cleanliness, the competition for very limited toilet spaces and so on and so forth, facilities. So one Sunday, as I was walking along the ground, like the vicar will always do, right? You see, make sure everything is okay. An exasperated Singaporean, and I'm quite sure she wasn't a church member, she came up to me and she complained about the many foreigners on our ground, in one of our national, on the grounds of our national monument. And she was very disturbed and very troubled, and she used this word, infestation, a few times. This place is infested with foreigners. I thought that this word is reserved for rats, cockroaches, and other troublesome insects. I was shocked, you know, but she used that word. She expected me to share in her disgust. Now I should add, I do suffer from Casaridophobia. An acute fear of cockroaches. I'm sure some of you do as well. I was wearing my collar, right? And returned this pastorly, vicarly kind of smile. Then I said, hey sister, why is that a problem? She was surprised that I was surprised by her remarks. Instead, I was surprised that she was surprised. After all, I was wearing this. I'm paid to love. And so momentarily, we were staring at each other, cold surprise, as fellow Singaporeans. But in our worldviews, it cannot be more different. Now, this is xenophobia. Actually, I don't condemn a judge. Maybe she have had a negative experience in the past with a foreigner. But it's a frightening thought that this same seed attitude lies behind all the problems the world is facing today, including genocides in our world. Some is still happening in some parts of the world. This earth and day is a terrible barrier that needs crossing. And that's where the gospel comes in. The gospel that teaches us to love not some, but all. But let me tell you something that's more positive. Around that time, I was making a new cassock with the Franciscan sisters, just around the corner, actually. And this sister by the name of Sister Teresa, she found out that I was a new vicar of the cathedral. So she sat me down. She said there's something very important that she wanted to say to me. Vicar, it is about the hundreds of foreigners on your ground. And she went on to tell me about what some Roman Catholic churches are doing for foreign workers every Sunday. Language classes, sewing classes, cooking classes, concerts, and so on and so forth. I must admit that she was telling me my blood pressure was rising. The stress of it all. Wondering how am I going to find resources of the foot soldiers, so to speak, to get this done regularly in the cathedral. I can tell you that 3 years later, this is a wonderful and joyful scene. And this is happening every Sunday. There are different activities now that is coming up. So with great joy and relief, you can see cooking classes. We're teaching them to cook Singaporean dishes, nasi lemak, curry chicken. Not me. The ladies in the church will do that. And we are teaching them that our English classes are very popular. They are now about 40, 50. We have beginner, we have intermediate, we have advanced classes as well. Not only that, there's also a Chinese tuition class because they want to learn Chinese. And top right bottom, you know, the government recently asked employers to release money to the employees. And so now they have learned to manage the money, right? And so we are teaching them how to manage, don't borrow, don't lend, but this is how you can keep your money safe. And so we have people teaching. We have also a Myanmar service in the cathedral, and so the leaders also come in to help with translation as well as reaching out to those many on our ground. As a result of Myanmar service is growing as well. Amen. Wonderful testimony to what God is doing. Praise His name. Hallelujah. And 3 years ago, it seemed so impossible. But you know, God has shed abroad His love in our hearts. And there are members in the church. You give them opportunity, they will serve. And I'm so encouraged, even as I speak today, this afternoon, all these activities will continue as well. We call this ministry BMW, Befriending Migrant Workers. So brothers and sisters, peace with God and peace with men. Hallelujah. This is a gospel that God has entrusted to us. In a nutshell, the message of the gospel. The double alienation that our friends face, and the message of reconciliation. And I end with this story. St. Andrew's Cathedral. Sometimes I will tell people that we have the largest cross of all churches in Singapore. You won't see the cross in cathedral, you see it from the sky. This is a picture taken from a drone, you can see. Largest cross in Singapore is right, amen, it's right in the heart of the city. It is a church that's been entrusted with a mission. 1 month into the cathedral, I was asked to meet an English Anglican senior church leader. And he's a double canon to his title. And so he has a lot of experience. So when I met him, the first thing he told me, Terry, the cathedral is not important. Now, what an introduction, right? What an advice. But he said the gospel is important. You must let the gospel ring loud and clear. That was 2015. As God will have it, as we celebrate Celebration of Hope next year, the same person who talked to me is one of the main speakers. Speaker is Celebration of Hope, Canon J. John. And so it's prophetic for us in the cathedral. And I see in the Celebration of Hope, it's not just about cathedral making it a success, but it's a Celebration of Hope, helping the cathedral to be a cathedral. Helping the cathedral to be faithful to a gospel message that God has placed her right in the heart of the city, not just to attract tourists, but place her in the heart of the city to remind Singapore, however successful she is commercially or politically, economically, she needs God right at the heart of her life. And cathedral has a calling to be faithful to, a calling to fulfill. Amen. So brothers and sisters, is there another slide? 17 to 19 May, will you pray with us? Pray with our bishop, pray with the pastors and leaders of this nation that God will do something powerful It will be different from 1978, it will be. But we pray that God will do something so powerful that generations after this, the younger generation, those who are younger, 40 and below, or 30 and below, will remember this occasion. And this occasion will plant many gospel seeds in hearts. That in the years to come will rise up, become spiritual leaders, Christian leaders and pillars of churches and of this nation. Amen. Do you believe with me that God will do something? And will you, from where you're seated, pray, Lord, I want to be a part of this. Some of you are facing difficulties, challenges, maybe in health, in workplace, whatever it may be, or anxiety. Don't allow these things, friends, to rob you of God's calling. Amen. Will you be spiritually attentive to this opportunity to share the gospel? And some of you know other foreigners as well. Maybe they are working near you, maybe it's acquaintance, maybe friend. It's an opportunity to so bring the gospel. They deserve the gospel as much as a colleague or family member. But the body of Christ arise and bring this wonderful message, gospel message of double reconciliation to a world that needs to hear it. So Father, Lord, we come to you and we say thank you, Lord, for all they have done for us in Christ Jesus. How you pick us from a life of emptiness and misery to a life that's filled with purpose, meaning that, Lord, we can live out this life in the context of us, whether those who are single or as families, to see this faith multiplying in different ways, whether among our friends, among our families. And Lord, we thank you for Singapore, Lord, for this miracle nation for which you have called into being for a very special purpose. And Father, we pray, as citizens of both the heavenly kingdom and of this nation, help us, Lord, to seek the welfare of the city with the love of God in our hearts. And we pray for this precious opportunity to impact society and continue to seed this society with the gospel of Christ, both in word and deeds and love. And Father, we ask by the Holy Spirit, you may continue to stir us. Lord, there's a calling in place on the cathedral. There's also a special calling in place on Church of Savior. And Father, this new season, under the leadership of Pastor Daniel, Lord, fulfill everything that you have purposed in the coming years. We stand together and we claim and we ask in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.